And we've used this quote before. If it sounds familiar to you, it's because I like this quote, and you've seen it probably before in some of our prayer studies. The greatest thing anyone can do for God and man is pray. It is not the only thing, but it is the chief thing. The great people of the earth today are the people who pray. I do not mean those who talk about prayer, nor those who say they believe in prayer, nor yet those who can explain about prayer. But I mean these people who take time to pray. And that's the important thing. There are great books out there. One of my favorite books is called The Prayer Factor. Excellent book. But it's more than just studying about prayer. It's praying. So when we come across requests like these that we've mentioned tonight, some of them heavy, when we're praying for people to be saved, when we've got upcoming things in our lives that need our prayer attention, like the global focus, or maybe it's a family crisis that you're heading toward, whatever it is, what do we do? Well, the scripture uses this phrase, and most of the time it's found in the Old Testament, seek the Lord, or seeking the Lord, that phrase. That particular phrase is talking about purposeful and specific, and when you're talking about a body like a church or a nation, it means united prayer. All through the Old Testament, it will say things like, seek the Lord while he may be found. In Psalm chapter 63 and verse 1, it says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee. It's the longing of the heart. There are those times that we pray, and I hope you have times of prayer, you know, in the day, that it's a regular time of prayer. But then there are those times when situations and circumstances or crises, tragedies, they drive us to a season of prayer. It's not our normal prayer time of the day, and we have to stop, and we seek the Lord. Well, I'd like to tonight run through these eight things just quickly to encourage you in ways to specifically and purposefully pray. And then when we're done, and I should have put these on your worksheet so you don't run out of ink, but I'm going to give you seven ways to pray for our missionaries. And we've gone over those before, but every once in a while it's just a good reminder. But I'd like you to think on these prayer focus points. The first one is this: pray that the Lord will give us each ears to hear. Ears to hear. His voice is what you and I ought to be obediently listening to. Ears to hear his voice, be obedient to him. Matthew 7:24. You remember the end of Matthew 7. It's the Jesus' illustration of the two builders. And he said, the wise man is this guy. In Matthew 7:24, he said, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Hearing and doing. Pray that God would give us ears to hear. How many times have you heard that? In the he that hath ears to hear, let him hear, Jesus said often. The second thing is pray that the Lord will give each of us eyes to see what he wants to do. Ears to hear, and now eyes to see what he wants to do. Oftentimes what I want and what God wants are two different things, and I need God to shape my perspective and change the way I do. So pray that God would give each of us eyes to see what he wants done. Psalm 123 and verse 2 says, behold, as the eyes of servants look unto the hand of their masters, and as the eyes of a maiden unto the hand of her mistress, so our eyes wait upon the Lord our God, until that he may have mercy upon us. Like a servant looking to see what his master wants done. Like a little servant girl who's watching her mistress. What is she trying to do? David says, let us be looking at God that way. Give us eyes to see what he wants to do. Number three. Pray the name of the Lord will be magnified through Faith Baptist Church here and around the world. Pray that the Lord's name would be magnified, making much of Jesus in everything that we do, however we serve, whatever we endeavor to go to do in the future. We want to cooperate with what God wants to do. The verse that I listed on your worksheet is John 17:3, where Jesus prayed this, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Pray that what we do, pray that how we serve, pray that how we comfort and how we minister, pray that magnifies the Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, pray the Lord will direct each of our hearts into, and I'm quoting here, 2 Thessalonians 3:5. He'll direct each of our hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. That's a dangerous prayer, isn't it? Praying for patience. Because we know what James says when it comes to getting patience. He said, if you want patience, that comes through tribulation and trial. But 2 Thessalonians calls us to this, to have hearts in the love of God and patient waiting for Christ. Pray that we'll be patient Christians. Number five, pray the Lord will truly have the preeminence in each member of our Faith Baptist Church family. And then just a reminder from our morning Bible studies on Sunday, pray that he will have preeminence in our time, our talent, our treasure, and in the truth he's given to every one of us. Deuteronomy 6 talks about that, and Matthew chapter 22 talks about that. Pray that the Lord will have preeminence in what he's entrusted us. Faithful stewards, that's what we're seeking to be. Number 6 says, pray we will be of one accord in our love for God. Paul loved that phrase, didn't he? One accord. You read it often in his epistles. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul said, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. That is so important in a church. Back in Ephesians chapter 4, he said, we need to endeavor to protect, to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Pray that God would do that for our church. I had a good conversation with Brother Kenny this last week. We were talking about our upcoming business meetings, and he was like, how do your business meetings go? I said, well, we don't have a whole lot. We just have one meeting, pretty much one formal business meeting a year, unless something comes up. And I said, it's for our budget. And I said, this is my 33rd time in a budget meeting at Faith Baptist Church. And I said, we've never had any discord, and maybe you have. I've been in business meetings at churches before where there was discord and strife, and I've heard of police being called to churches and business meetings. What an embarrassment to the cause of Christ that would have to be. But I said, you know, in the 33 years that we've been here, we have enjoyed God's unity even when it comes to budget talks at Faith Baptist Church. Because here's the thing, we're not talking about our money. We're talking about God's money and what we've determined that we believe he wants us to do with it. So it kind of takes us out of the picture, and it puts Jesus Christ at the forefront. But that unity is just important. Number 7, pray the Lord will continue to create an appetite. I like the way this is worded. Can I just confess to you? I stole this. I just don't remember where I got it. But I love the way it's worded. Pray the Lord will continue to create an appetite for God and spiritual things in each of us as we turn from the triviality of earth's pleasures to the wonderful treasures of eternity. I want to hunger and thirst after righteousness, like it says in Matthew 5. I don't want to get caught up in the pleasures of the world. I want to be caught up in the treasures of eternity. Pray that God will give us that appetite, that he would make us hungry for things that please him. And then number 8, the last one, pray that the Lord, and you might have this verse memorized, pray that the Lord will do great and mighty things for his glory in and through each of us, our families, our church, our neighborhoods, our great nation, and all the nations of the world. Jeremiah 33:3, a number of years ago, we used this verse as our missions conference theme. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. That verse literally saying, God is saying, I will blow your socks off with what I want to do. great and mighty things that thou knowest not. You can't even imagine what I want to do. That's what we ought to be praying for. When we pray for these families tonight, see if you can find in there the Yuengling family. And one of those prayer focus points that you can pray for the Yuengling specifically in grieving the death of a loved one. Find the Ward family in one of these prayer focus points who are dealing with a lot of shock today and sobering news. Find in there all of these families where they're struggling with something specific. With Pat and Roy, that was pretty shocking last night. Pat was just getting ready to do a puzzle, and the next thing you know, a significant stroke. So where can you find those three families in there tonight? Where can you find something that God's pressing on your heart? Maybe one of those eight things is for you this evening. And you say, God, this is how I need to pray for myself. And I'm gonna even solicit other friends to pray for me in this particular way. But how can we pray tonight for others? These eight focus points, I think they take our prayers and we learn to pray specifically. How will you and I know if God is answering our prayers if they're so broad and so generic that we just won't know? I'm praying, if it's God's will, that he raises up Pat and he brings her back to full recovery. They told her today that 10% of people who have this stroke come back to full recovery. I'm praying Pat Squires specifically. I'm praying she's in that 10%. Now, if all I say is, God, will you just bless Pat, how will I know? So I'm asking him to do something specific. You join me in that prayer for Pat. Pray for Fred Ward, that God would help them. They're going to do a procedure tomorrow to try to take some of this cancer out. Pray that that thing succeeds. But let's pray specifically for these needs. Now, I'm going to go quickly through these seven ways to pray for your missionary. And I'm sorry I didn't put that on the back of your worksheet, so you might have to write quickly. But I'll give you seven ways you can pray for missionaries. And if I'm not mistaken, I should write things down better, you know. If I'm not mistaken, I took these from a missionary who was speaking on how to pray for your missionaries. And I forgot to write down who gave them to me. So let me give you somebody else's ideas on how to pray for a missionary. Is that okay if I do that? Number one, pray for their relationship. And these are for our missionaries. Pray for their relationship with God. Pray that they will love and study God's word. They have a stronger prayer life filled with the Holy Spirit, that they're growing in the Lord. Pray for their relationship with God. Second, pray for their physical and emotional needs. You know, physically and emotionally, they have the same needs you do. Missionaries sometimes struggle with fear on the mission field. They struggle financially with worrying. Pray for their physical and emotional needs. Pray like one of those needs and under physical and emotional needs. Pray that they'll stay healthy, especially those who are serving in places where disease runs pretty rampant. Pray for our missionaries in Africa, they don't get malaria. I didn't know this. You know, if you get malaria, you've got it your whole life. And for the rest of your life, you're just trying to keep it from flaring up. And we've got a number of missionaries that they serve in malaria-ridden countries. Pray for their physical and emotional needs. Victory over loneliness or depression. Number three, pray for their family relationships. The relationship there between the husband and wife, the parents and the children. Pray for them to model a godly family to nationals where sometimes the morality or the moral ideas, I should say, in some of these countries are very different from the scriptures. So pray for their family relationships. The ability, number four, pray for their ability to communicate. Some of them are struggling with ascertaining the language. So pray for their language studies. Pray for them to continue to improve in their fluency, to understand the culture that they're in. Pray for their ability to communicate. Then, what is that? Number five, pray for their ministry to be effective. Their ministry to be effective. Their teaching or preaching or witnessing, as God opens or closes doors, pray that they'll follow God's will. Pray for their ministry to be effective. And right alongside of that, when included in that, pray that they'll be satisfied with the way God makes their ministry effective. You know, we have some, let me illustrate what I'm saying. We have some missionaries that are in countries where the gospel seed has been sown and watered and fertilized for decades. And then they come into this, this country where all of this preparation has been done, and they roll in there just in time, and they arrive right when God's going to bring great harvest. For the last 60 or 70 years, the Philippines have been cultivated with the gospel, and there are a lot of people being saved in the Philippines. Missionaries being sent all over the world. I met a Filipino missionary in Ethiopia. The first time I went to Ethiopia, I met a Filipino guy who had gone there as a missionary. South Korea has been sending out missionaries for the last 15 or 20 years. Wonderful missionaries all over the world. South Korean missionaries going to South America. And we say to ourselves, boy, that seems a little odd. No odder than an American going to South Korea. But God is doing those things. There are those missionaries who are really reaping that harvest. But then there are other missionaries, and they're taking the gospel to their country for the first time. So their picture of effective ministry looks very different from the guy who every time he stands up to preach, or every time his wife stands up to teach children, every time they stand up, somebody's getting saved. And then there are those missionaries who are going to the field where it's not been sown, and it's not been plowed, and it's not been watered, and they are there breaking up hard, hard ground. Some of you know Mark and Michelle Hale, our missionaries to the Portugal. The city that they're in is an old city, and Brother Mark, when he first got there, he said he looked back 800 years in that city's history and could not find one gospel-preaching church that had ever been planted there. Well, Mark and Michelle were coming from Lithuania, where the gospel was doing incredible things. They'd planted churches. They had a Bible college that was going. And God moved them to Portugal, the other end of the fruitful spectrum. So effective ministry for Mark and Michelle in Portugal was plowing up hard religious ground and sowing seed. And it took years and years. And now they're finally reaping some fruit. So when we say pray for effective ministry, also pray that they would recognize what effective ministry is in their field. Number six, pray for their outside relationships. We already said their family relationships. Pray for their relationships with lost nationals or with other missionaries or with national pastors and teachers. Pray for those non-family relationships, those outside. Here's funny, and you can talk to some of our missionaries. There are some missionaries on the foreign field, they cannot get along with other Christian missionaries. That's probably why they went to another country, was because they couldn't get along with anybody, so they went somewhere where nobody knew them. I've talked to David Peach, and I've talked to Brother Terry Childers, and there are just some missionaries, they just can't get along with people. When I look at Brother David Peach, I think David Peach can get along with about anybody in the world, don't you? I've taken a couple of trips with him, and I don't know if I've ever gone out of town with David Peach. We're going down the highway or running into a McDonald's or something. We don't bump into somebody he knows. I think he knows more people than anybody else I know. I can't imagine David being on the mission field, not being able to work with others. Pray for missionaries to be able to get along with national pastors or with lost nationals or even with other missionaries. And then the last thing, when you're praying for our missionaries, pray for the nation in which they are serving. We have so many nations that, and some of you know what I'm talking about. They just teeter on the precipice of peace and revolution. It doesn't take much for there to be rioting in the streets and firebombs being made. It's a mess. So pray for the countries in which they're serving. Pray in that country, for example, the missionary will have the favor of the government. pray that peace would reign, and so there'd be a stability there in which they could present the gospel. Pray that they can get into the public schools. I am amazed at the access some of our missionaries have to public schools where they're invited in to preach the gospel. It's an amazing avenue. Pray that that would stay open. Pray for them to get approved visas. We've got a number of new missionaries we've taken on in the last 2 years that they're working toward visa approval. Used to, our missionaries didn't struggle with getting a visa. One of the nations that has really surprised us in the last 10 years or so is South Africa. Used to, if you wanted to go to South Africa, doors were wide open. Government was very welcoming. And in about the last 8 or 10 years, South Africa has started closing doors. Bio had one of their veteran missionaries, the Pharisees, who had served in South Africa for 25 years. And when it came time to renew their visa, South Africa wouldn't renew it to get back in. We took on a young lady named Katie Dilfer. We took her on for support. She was with us 2 or 3 years ago in our global focus. We took her on for support on her way to South Africa. Tried, could not get a visa to South Africa. So pray that these countries that they're serving in, the doors would stay open. That's just not, we used to be able to take that for granted. We ought not to do that anymore. So pray for these things. These are 7 ways to pray for your missionaries. When we put 3 names at the bottom of the prayer bulletin on the back, maybe you can take some of these things and pray for them in the request that they've mentioned. Maybe you can take some of these 7 things and you can see where they're asking us to pray for their ability to communicate better. They're asking us to pray to help them learn the language. They're asking us to pray for visa approval. They're asking us to pray for one of their kids who are struggling with the thought of moving to another nation. We've got some missionaries that have moved to other countries and they have preteens or teens. That's a big deal. It's one thing if you're taking a baby or a preschooler. It's a whole other thing if you're taking an 11-year-old and you're moving to another culture. And so pray for our missionaries. I hope that little sheet will help you and help me pray more specifically for our missionaries. So what I'd like to do tonight, and this is how we'll close our service. You have your prayer bulletin. You have needs on the inside. You have needs on the back. We added 2 or 3 to the front. So I'd like you to get with a prayer partner, or maybe 2 prayer partners, and take these things to the Lord tonight. And you can use your prayer bulletin every day in praying for these needs and reminding yourself to pray one another. Paul said, pray ye one for another, and that's what we're supposed to do. So lift these folks up every day. And I've told you this before, I don't make it through the prayer list every day. There are so many names on our prayer list that people are needing our prayers. So I don't make it through every day. So every day I have a group of people that I focus on to pray for, so that when I'm done by next Wednesday, I'll have prayed for each person by name, and as best I know their situation, I've prayed for them next week. I've never counted how many names are on our list. There's got to be a couple hundred, and that's a lot. So I just break it up in bite-sized pieces and try to make it through once a week, go through and pray for these people. But as we do, as best we can, let's pray specifically for them and ask God to work in their lives, all right? So let's do this. Let's just find prayer partners tonight. You want to pray with those you're sitting with.